Now, today, have you been looking with faint disgust at the amount of leftovers lingering in your kitchen? I know in my fridge, trifle, turkey and huge volumes of cheese are still to be eaten. But what about all the grub that doesn't even make its way out of the shop door? Well, France is getting ready to enact a new law to reduce the estimated 7 million tonnes of food wasted in the country every year. The legislation forces larger French supermarkets to donate food that's approaching its best before date to charity, or ensure it's turned into animal feed or compost, rather than simply destroying it. The French law goes further than other European countries, like the UK, where the government has a voluntary agreement with the grocery and retail sector to cut both food and packaging waste in the supply chain. But although the arrangement in Britain isn't mandatory, large chains are already signing up to innovative ways of redistributing food to organisations in need. And scientists are trying to develop new techniques to make food last longer, as I've been finding out. I'm in the delivery area now at Marks & Spencer's store, Marble Arch in London. This is a huge operation. The store takes around 7 lorry loads of deliveries every single day. Inevitably, food is left over, either damaged or past its sell-by date. But it's not all going to waste now. In a small corner of the delivery area, Jacqueline and Jennifer are scanning produce that will end up going to a local charity.
We've got grapes, we've got white grapes, and we've got blueberries. So we've got loads of fruits, and we've got cakes, Christmas cakes. The tin does damage a little.
OK, Richard, the manager of the food hall, is with me. Just how much food every day are you able to send on to charities?
It varies by day based on how busy we've been or how much stock we've had in going out of life that day, but typically there'll be between 8 and 10 trays of food to collect each night. We tend to just do foods which are just past their best before date, but absolutely not past their use by date, and there's a key kind of difference there. These foods are absolutely still safe to eat. Anything which has got superficial damage as well will absolutely offer up. So we wouldn't sell this in store. However, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the product, so we'd still give that up to the charity. Marble Arch has been working with Community Shop in West Norwood for over a year now. And since we started that, we've reduced the amount of waste that goes back via anaerobic digestion by 10%. That may not sound a lot, but if you scaled that up across the whole industry, you'd be able to feed 40,000 people more every week, 7 days a week.
The pilot scheme, trialled in the store, is now being rolled out nationwide. M&S are using Neighbourly.com to do so. It's a social platform that connects local projects with people and organisations who want to help. And it's run from an award-winning tech hub in Bristol, in the southwest of England.
My name is Nick Davis. I'm the founder of Neighbourly.com. What inspired me to get started was understanding that actually communities and society increasingly is looking for more help in making sure that things get done properly at a local level, that the people in need within a community are fed. And increasingly there's a recognition that actually government and local government will have less funding than it's ever had before to perhaps support and sustain many of the great things that happen at a charitable level within our communities. And so Neighbourly was started initially to connect big companies to community projects via funding and via volunteering. But we also recognise the opportunity to connect everything that a company does, because companies also have things that they would rather give away than throw away. And that could be a whole range of items, but the thing that really needs addressing right now in society is food waste. And so we saw with Neighbourly the opportunity to use the platform that we'd built and were just launching in order to connect funding and volunteering, but also to use that around the other way to turn the technology around so that a company could say, this is what we've got, surplus at the end of the day at any given store, and a community project who is feeding people within that community can say, that's great, we'll take it. When can we come and get it?
In South Norwood, in London's suburbs, employees at the community shop are unpacking the surplus food from Marks & Spencer's Marble Arch store. It's just arrived.
You can see some of the examples of things that have come into us to resell.
Clara Whittlesham is the community shop manager.
So, for example, here, lemon drizzle cake, beautiful lemon drizzle cake. Nothing wrong with the cake itself, just a little bit of damaged, ripped packaging there.
And it's not out of date, so you can put that straight into your cafe and sell it.
Absolutely. We don't sell anything out of date. Food hygiene is our biggest priority when it comes to redistributing food.
Here in the UK, this is a voluntary arrangement, isn't it? It's up to individual retailers to match up with individual charities. In France, though, they've taken a different approach. How different is it, and why don't you think the UK is following suit?
I think the partnership between Marks and Spencer's and Community Shop really shows the innovation and collaboration between our organisation and the retailers, and there's so much more going on out there as well. I think it would do a real disservice to the food industry to implement legislation that hasn't even been proven to work yet.
Because the legislation effectively says you have to find a use for the food. It's illegal to destroy it.
That's true, yeah, and that's not necessarily the best way to go about it. You are potentially forcing huge amounts of food on charities that are not equipped to deal with it. And charities could end up becoming a disposal channel, having to cover the costs of taking food to landfill when they can't redistribute it.
Well, I'm now walking into the very smart cafe here at the Community Shop and going behind the counter into the kitchen to meet the chef, Trish. So what do you have on the menu today?
We have chili con carne, jacket potatoes, a mixture of different salads and some garlic bread.
Because they're coming in from donations, you can create meals to sell here at a really cheap price, can't you?
Yep, definitely.
How much, for example, is the portion of chili that you're cooking today?
£1.50, and that comes with everything. And also we do puddings as well, and it's 50p for a cake or hot pudding, apple crumble, custard.
The very fact that in the past some of this food was simply thrown away, is that quite shocking?
Very shocking. And to think that there's people out there that can't afford food or anything, and it could be donated and people are throwing it away, it is very upsetting to think that.
I'm Helen, and I've been coming here 2 or 3 times a week, probably, sometimes more.
How much of a difference has it made to your weekly budget, the Community Shop?
Huge, huge. I can afford to eat well, I can afford to feed my family well, and we can actually afford choice of what we eat these days, so it makes a huge difference.
As such charitable partnerships show, reducing waste at the back door is now much higher on supermarkets' priorities. But there's also the growing recognition that this also needs to be done throughout the production chain, and that's concentrating the minds of scientists at the University of the West of England. Well, I'm with Dr. Darren Reynolds. He's next to this very interesting-looking machine full of knobs and buttons, and you're about to prepare a special kind of water. Tell me about this and how it could help revolutionise the food chain.
It all starts with using salty water. So we have a saline solution. It literally is tap water with a little bit of salt put in there. And we put that solution through a very special electrochemical cell. And that's a kind of a real fancy way of saying we have a couple of electrodes that really split the chemicals that make up that salty water, resulting in a solution that's very, very good at killing bacteria. It's very safe on human skin, but it has a knack of attacking some of the most important bacteria that we're really concerned with. So if I just open this box, and you can see how it all looks very complicated. It's full of wires, but really the system we've developed is pretty much as simple as switching the box on and producing that activated solution. It can actually produce on demand when needed. We've been working with food suppliers and supermarkets really to see how this technology can intervene within the food supply chain. So we're looking at perhaps applying some of these types of solutions on raw, fresh produce and seeing how that affects obviously the taste and the quality of the food. That's absolutely vital, but also seeing if we can reduce the bacteria that's on the food and extend the food's shelf life.
And by extending the food shelf life, inevitably it will then mean that less food is wasted.
If you really want to change the world, you know, one of the things you could do is extend the shelf life of a cherry tomato by one day. And that sounds a quite a dismissive thing to say. But if we were able to do that, that would allow producers to be more strategic in the way they crop. It would allow producers more time to distribute that food before that food actually went off or got spoiled. So small things like that can actually make a huge difference in that whole food supply chain.